Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dishing with Digest. I'm Stephanie Sloan, editorial director, here with Mara Levinsky, senior editor.
Hi, everyone.
Well, Mara, I am so excited to talk to our guest today. It is Days of Our Lives' head writer, Ron Carlovati, who has just completely shifted the canvas by doing a time jump. So now it's a year ahead in Salem, and we will see current story play out as the gaps are filled in from what happened in the 12 months we didn't see. And I think it is just such a cool concept. So Ron first told me about this months ago, and I sat with rapt attention as he outlined what his plans were and where everyone would wind up. And it was just like amazing. Like my mouth was like literally open. And, you know, as part of the story, though, we're going to see some cast changes, some returns, some exits. One of the returns we are going to see soon is James Reed, who has played Clyde on and off since 2014. Now, James was in my favorite miniseries of all time, North and South, so I'm always happy when he comes back. We have an interview with him in the new issue. He tells us he's really happy to be working again with Robert Scott Wilson, who plays Clyde's son, Ben. And as we have seen, Ben is in prison, so they are going to cross paths there.
We also report on another return in our new issue, which is that of General Hospital's Tristan Rogers, who plays Robert Scorpio, reprising the role of Colin Atkinson on YNR. So he explains that he's been in talks with YNR for a while, but it had been hard to work out with his GH schedule. So then he reached out to the show when General Hospital was going on a week-long hiatus, and YNR leaped at the chance to take advantage of his availability. Mm-hmm. It'll be a brief return, but he'll be working again with Jess Walton, who plays Jill, and he raved about their reunion.
You know, I love a double duty situation. I loved when Eileen Davidson would appear on both Young and the Restless and Days of Our Lives. I love seeing Wally Kurth now on both Days and GH. And actually, Wally is going to have some big story coming up on Days. So definitely stay tuned for that. And he will also see some family expansion on GH.
Yeah, the show has cast Amanda Seton in the role of Brooklyn Ashton, Ned's daughter by Lois, who was last played by Adrienne Leon. One Life fans may remember Amanda from her run as Kimberly Andrews, that minx from 2009 to 11.
I do.
And it's no secret that there has been a depletion in the Quartermain ranks over the years. So I really think GH fans will cheer this news. Mm-hmm. I'm also going to be interested to see how Brooke gets along or doesn't with her new stepmother, Olivia, since the last time Brooke was in town, she caused some big trouble for Dante, which is like the number one way to get on Olivia's bad side. And viewers have already seen another new face on the show in the form of Marcus Coloma, who debuted on Halloween in the recast role of Nicholas Cassadine. Nick was presumed dead back in 2016. But he has been such a pivotal character over the years. And Marcus, who I spoke to for a story in the new issue, is really honored to be taking over such a storied role and to be working with legends like Jeannie Francis, who plays Laura. I think there's so much story potential there. It's like mm-hmm. it's exciting. Now, both Nicholas and Brooke are characters with history on the show, but they are the first, quote unquote, like new characters that we'll be seeing since Dan O'Connor became the show's co-head writer. And I think it's a smart move indeed to bring back folks, one with, you know, Quartermain blood ties, and then another, Nicholas, who has ties to the Spencers, the Webbers, and the Cassadines.
Oh, I totally agree. You know, we have an upcoming feature in the magazine about introducing new characters and how head writers approach bringing them in. And tying them to a core family is something we really heard from all of them was like the number one thing to do. You know, Ron said to me that it's better to bring on Sarah Horton than Sarah Smith, for example. Mm-hmm. There is a new character in Salem, however, and that is Evan, who is David's Manny, played by Brock Kelly. Brock appeared on the show actually in 2005 as Abigail's boyfriend, but now he's back in this different role. And we shall see if he has any surprise connections to anyone in Salem as time goes on, I imagine. But the person who knows that best is our guest today. As I mentioned, it is Days of Our Lives as head writer Ron Carlovati. So let's get him on the phone to hear all about his big plans for Salem. Hi, Ron.
Hello.
Hello. So Mara and I were just talking about how amazing the time jump is and how exciting it's been already to see the first week. So let's start at the beginning. When did you first conceive of this storyline?
Well, okay, it kind of goes back many years because I've been wanting to do a time jump and thought about doing a time jump since I was writing One Life to Live. So, you know, it's, you know, 20 years in the making here. So it's just something I always thought could be a cool thing to do, to like skip ahead in time and you could really, you know, shake up everything that's happening on the show. Advanced stories, change stories, et cetera, et cetera. So it was always like a fantasy that I had of doing. And I always thought that maybe we would do it. Well, I'll say I wanted to do it at One Life to Live. And then I even pitched it once or twice and kind of got shot down. And so then when I wrote General Hospital, I also at one point thought, well, now maybe I can do it. And pitched it again and got shot down. And the note was always the audience is going to feel like they missed something. And my answer to that was exactly, you know, that's the whole point, that a lot has changed. Big things have happened and you have to watch to see what they are. So that I always believed, and they said, oh, it will be confusing. And I kind of feel like it's a jolt, definitely. But I feel like our audience is smart enough to follow along and know that, you know, time has gone by and a year has passed. And you very quickly, I think, you know, at first it's maybe a little unsettling to see all the things that have changed and are different, but I think it's fun to watch them unfold. And I think you quickly get up to speed. And so you quickly kind of settle on, okay, now I see where we are. And then there's a lot of still like mysteries there to unfold. You see things that have changed, but you don't exactly know why or how did we get there. And that's the stuff that you will slowly over time find out. So anyway, I've been wanting to do it for a really long time. And then ultimately it was like the third time was the charm because I pitched it, at Days of Our Lives. And in fact, even wanted to do it a year earlier. We thought about doing when Marlena was shot at her wedding and she went into the coma and kind of doing it then. And it really story-wise, it didn't work in the end. We plotted it out. We thought about it. I even got, you know, a sort of qualified approval to do it, and it wasn't working. I sadly abandoned it because I finally got the okay to do this thing I wanted to do, but I was like, it's just not working. So we didn't do it. Cut to almost a year later and suddenly thought, hey, what about this year? And I always thought we would do it on the, you know, I always thought I would do this on New Year's Eve. Like I had this vision that the clock strikes 12 and then all of a sudden, instead of going 1 year ahead, you go to the next year. And so I always thought, oh, I'll do it sometime on New Year's. And as we started talking about it, we realized, wow, it could really work a lot sooner than that. It's not going to hold until New Year's, but we wanted to have it happen at a significant moment. And then I think it was Ryan Kwan who said, what about on the anniversary? That's coming up soon. So I was like, you're a genius. And we decided to do it on the anniversary. So that is how, that's sort of the genesis of how that all happened. And that's where we are now.
Okay, wait, I want to go back as someone who watched your work on One Life and GH. Do you remember ideas that you had or what you might have done had you gotten the okays from either show?
No, I don't. Honestly, I mean, there probably were ideas, but I can't either remember them or I don't know if it ever got that far of like, oh, you know, Todd's married to Dorian. You know, Sonny is married to Heather Weber or something. No, I can't remember significant ideas that I had, just that I knew that that would be a really cool thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about with Marlena? Are we seeing any of the ideas you had, or did you have totally different ideas?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, we thought, we ended up doing some of it without the time jump. Like, I thought, okay, Marlena wakes up and John is like, it's been a year, right? And then, you know, she would be like, oh my God. And, you know, now we can finally get married. And he's like, Doc, the thing is, I'm sort of already married. And you would find out that he married Hattie, and that he did that because they were going to turn her off. And, you know, by that, I mean, unplug her. yes, definitely him marrying Hattie would turn Marlena off. But anyway, like, some of that stuff we managed to kind of do anyway without the time jump, but it was certain things like that. And that's why this worked so well with Jennifer, because I always felt that a character on the show needed to be going through the same thing as the audience. The character had to be experiencing the time jump too. So that was always the original idea. Somebody's waking up from a coma to see that they've missed a year, so that you're following along with them. And so then, when we didn't do it with Marlena, we're like, we need to put somebody else into a coma. And it needs to be, you know, a legacy type character. And then we came up with the idea of Jennifer. And that's when we decided Gina would push her off a building and put her into a coma. So once you kind of landed on that, and like I said, you wanted to, if there's any confusion, you wanted somebody to experience the same confusion. You want Jennifer to wake up and go, what do you mean? It's been a year. What have I missed? So she's sort of speaking for the audience.
Are there things that you've been doing, like, in recent weeks or months that were specifically to set the time jump up that we might not have realized at the time?
Yes and no. Yes, certain things we knew we had to, like, okay, this needs to all be done with before the time jump. Eli and Lonnie need to be, you know, their relationship needs to get destroyed by Gabby before the time jump so we can set them where we need them to be. We need, you know, the death that at first you think is possibly Sierra. We need to murder Jordan so that when the time jump happens, Ben's in prison. We knew, obviously, the babies are going to be born after the time jump, so we had to think about where those characters are, you know, who knows what. Eric finds out that Sarah's pregnant, but maybe not necessarily that he's the father. I'm trying to think what else. Brady and Kristen kind of taking a step toward actually being together as a couple and being happy, since, you know, when we pick up, they're apart. We had certain people in mind, you know, like, they need to be happy and together, or they need to be miserable and apart, because post time jump, they're going to be X, Y, or Z.
So this is a huge undertaking. You live, in New York, your staff is in California. Like, this to me sounds like you need, like, a storyboard. Like, how did you conceive
it? Like, the homeland conspiracy theory.
We have the little the yarn and the push pins all over, and like the it's really tough. It's not just your tip. You know, there are times where we sit down and go, okay, we need some new story, we need long story, but usually it's not for the whole canvas, because certain stories are still in motion while you're kind of trying to conceive other stories. This is like, sometimes you're like, okay, we're going to come up with two or three big stories, and I'm not going to worry about these other characters. We'll kind of figure that as we go. In this case, you had to know ahead of time almost where every single person was, because you had to, you know, once when we see them for the first time, whatever changes have happened in their life have to have happened. So we have to know what those changes were. So we had to kind of know what everybody's story was, where usually I only have to know one third or one half of the cast stories at any one time. So this was like sitting down with a list of the entire canvas and being like, okay, let's take these two. Are they together? Are they married still? Are they divorced? Are they alive? And so it was really tough. We really had to sit down with every single person and go person by person and go, where do we think they are? What do you think happened to them? And start throwing out ideas.
How long did that take?
That's the other thing. You kind of also have to do it fast because,
right.
Because as you're doing that, you're also, I'm also turning 6 shows in every week. So the job still has to get done. And somehow, you know, you also have to find the time to figure out, okay, what happened to 30 people in a year? So it was tough. It had to happen kind of fast. And, you know, look, you don't have to figure out every single beat. That was the other part. It's like, okay, you can fit, you will show you these moments over the year when at our leisure, you know. So you do have a little bit of wiggle room there, but essentially you have to figure out where everybody is.
I want to know, when you pitched it at Days, was it an easy sell? Did it take convincing? Because it really does deviate from, you know, the traditional form of storytelling.
Yes. No, it, when you first bring it up, it throws people for a loop. You know, it definitely, they are like, wait, now what? Like, but we'll go back. And I'm like, no. We stay in the future forever. Like, you know, I wouldn't comment on like, you know, while we're taping this, you know, it hasn't happened yet. And so I wanted the audience to be surprised. And so didn't want to really comment on the time jump until it happened. But just watching people who've started to get an inkling of it, speculating of what this is, they're like, well, how long does it last? Or is it someone's dream? Or is it a week? Or is it a month? And I'm like, no, we stay in the future, you know? And I think I think you get it, like I said, when you watch it, you get it pretty fast. But I understand why all those questions come up when you say, you know, when I pitch to the powers that be, we're going to jump a year ahead. They're, you know, they have all those same questions that the audience has and had. So, you know, it was very clear in my mind, but you have to articulate that vision, like, to everyone. And so once, you know, we start answering those questions, I watched, you know, everybody that makes these decisions get excited about it, you know, and say, oh, now I get it. This is pretty cool, you know, and start to say, and I mean, look, I got to say, in general, everyone from, you know, Albert Allar to Greg Meng to Ken Corday to Bruce Evans at NBC have, like, been incredibly supportive of me my entire tenure. So I was kind of used to having support. But, you know, in working in daytime for this long, you were also used to being disappointed. You're used to somebody, you know, you get all excited about a story idea and then they say, no, I don't like it. We're not doing that. And it's not to say at Days I've never had been turned down for certain stories. But, you know, I was cautiously optimistic because everybody has been so great my whole tenure. And so when I pitched the whole thing, first we got, you know, internally, I got, you know, Corday Productions excited about it. And then we went to Bruce Evans at NBC and pitched it. And, you know, Bruce is very inscrutable. You pitch it and he just listens, you know, he doesn't jump in right away. He just listens and lets you talk. And also oftentimes I'm doing it on the phone, so I can't even see his face, you know, so, you know, it might be afterwards where Ken is like, he was totally frowning and was trying to be like, Ron, move on. But I never know that. So anyway, in this instance, he listened. And I was like, he's going to say no. And Bruce is like, okay, I think this is an interesting idea. You know, and he said, and he said, to my knowledge, this hasn't been done on daytime TV. He said, I know we've done it in primetime, but I'm giving you the go ahead. So, you know, thank you to him, because it was, you know, you need to get a lot of people on board, and I know I'm asking a lot. It's every time I pitch something that's a little bit out there or a little bit big, I know I'm asking people to take a risk, and, you know, and if it doesn't work, it can fail spectacularly. And so, you know, you're asking people to take a leap of faith. And so that's mm-hmm. what the you know, powers that be did with me. And I hope that's, you know, what I'm doing with the audience, and like that they take this leap of faith and go on this ride with us.
Okay. Well, what was the cast reaction to this event?
Well, it's funny because, you know, obviously we start writing, you know, even though the audience knows that we're writing well ahead, you know, we're not that far ahead from what they're taping. You know, it's not that I'm writing it now and they're shooting it in 6 or 9 months. They're actually shooting it a few weeks after I write it. So, you know, I knew once we wrote it that, it would only be a few weeks before the cast would see those episodes where Jennifer wakes up and it's been a year. And I actually was out in LA right around the time that they were finding this out. So it was pretty funny because when I first got there, no one knew. And then Albert started telling people in the cast what was going on. So I just happened to be there. So it was pretty funny to see them like, wait, it's the same reaction exactly. Now, wait a minute. You mean now when we go back? And I'm like, no, you don't. We don't go back. And then what was funny is people were asking me. I remember being in the hallway, and I know it was. I can remember Sal Sowers going, so what happens to me? And I, of course, I'm dying to say you're a nun, but I'm like, you'll get your script in a week or two. So I couldn't really tell. And then the other one was Chandler, and I wanted to be like, well, you're in prison for murdering your mother-in-law. And I'm like, and so I'm like, I have all those answers that I'm dying to say, but I really didn't because I knew they'd be finding out really soon. And I, you know, I'm just like, always a fanatic about spoilers. I hate them. I know certain people in the audience love them. Like, I want to watch the show and experience it and be surprised when surprises happen. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they were excited. I watched it, you know, kind of ripple across the cast and people find out. And I think they really were excited because, like, they were seeing, you know, oh, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my character? You know? And I mean, that was the thing when we sat down, like I said, to figure it all out. It was like, okay, you have to have enough big changes that warrant doing a time jump. But maybe if everyone's divorced or everyone, it's almost too much. But so it was like trying to find that balance of, okay, not everything can be different. You want the audience to have some familiarity, something to like an anchor to hold on to there. Or so it was like, except it became so fun to be like, oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? Like, I had to like reel myself in to be like, okay, they're still happy and married. because you wanted, you know, enough, like it was like, okay. I mean, I just had the, what would happen is you just have an image of something. Like I was like, Kristen is a nun. like, I mean, Kristen, this ultimate badass is a nun. Like, I love this, you know? And then, okay, then we figured out that Lonnie was too. Same thing. I always thought Ben will be in prison for murder. And then we were like, what if Will is somehow his cellmate? You know, and you're like, that's amazing. Why is Will in prison? You know, and then you're like, well, who's dead? You know, you also want there to be a death. Like if a year went by, odds are somebody had to die on a soap opera or more than one person. So that's another tricky thing, sitting down and going, okay, who dies? You know, we love all our cast. And like, but, you know, and like, look, who's divorced? You want, but again, and who's a new surprising couple? Those kind of things. Like, I'll give one thing away that we didn't do. Mm-hmm. Marlena was going to be in prison and Gina was going to have sort of set her up, and then we thought it became too much, so Marlena, she instead, Gina exiled her to Europe instead of prison. She was gonna have committed perjury at Ben's trial. So
you would have had like the cell block tango at this point. Yes, with yes, everybody.
Yes, and that was one that we were like, okay, maybe it's one too many people in prison. Maybe, you know, we do something different. So that's one of the few that was like a big idea that we didn't do. We did most of the ones that we originally came up with.
So it was revealed this week that Adrian didn't make it. Talk us through why she seemed to be the appropriate character to hinge this story involving the jump on.
Yeah, well, it was kind of twofold. Like, so like I said, yes, we're like, well, who cannot be alive? And the deal with Judy Evans, who we love, is that she has a full-time job that's outside of daytime. It was very tricky when we wanted to write her once she accepted this full-time position. And so that's what gave us the first idea, just sort of practical concerns of like, all right, we really don't have Judy. And so I was like, well, what if Adrian dies, right? And then we're thinking about, well, who, you know, that could affect story for Sonny and Will, for Justin, you know, that could be a really, you know, juicy, like, thing to do. But, like, of course it was, but we love Adrian, and the audience loves Adrian, and we really want to kill Adrian. So it was a balance of, like, but in, you know, what I finally decided to do it is because we have another character in our back pocket with Judy, which is Bonnie Lockhart. So in my mind, okay, yes, it was painful to kill Adrian, but it almost was like, well, we kind of have a spare, you know, because we have Bonnie Lockhart. And of course, when Judy, if and when is ever available to us, you know, and she loves the show and loves doing the show, and she does get vacation from her job. So it's, don't worry, you, it's not that you'll never see Judy Evans again on the show. We knew that Bonnie was always a possibility too. Plus, we also knew eventually we're going to want to show you how and when and what, how Adrian died. And so we knew we would need Judy back for that.
So that seems to be another element of how this story is going to play out, because, like, just in this first week, you know, we've seen Eve in prison for pushing Jennifer off the balcony, which the audience knows that it was Gina. As you mentioned, Will is in jail. Ben is in jail. Sarah's had her baby. Kristen Brady's baby is dead. JJ is struggling for a reason that we will find out. Chad and Abigail are back in town. Hope is with John. As you mentioned, Lonnie and Kristen are in a convent. So now that's just week one. So yeah. I imagine there are more reveals to come. And also, how is the story going to play out? Like, we're going to have current and past?
Yeah. So essentially, we wanted to reveal, you know, a lot of big things early on. And we kind of tried to parse them out. So, you know, the first day you see Ben in prison, and then you see Will's a cellmate, and then save the nuns for a different show. Like, I wanted there to be, like, that first week, like, a big reveal every day. And, you know, after you're a couple weeks into it, you then, by, you know, 2 weeks, you know pretty much where everybody is. And then there are still these lingering mysteries. Okay, you know, Will is in prison for killing Adrian, but what happened? Did he strangle her? Did he shoot her? Did he snap and kill his mother-in-law? Like, what exactly is, you know? So I loved the idea of, like, not, you know, telling somebody maybe what but not how. So we were like, all right, we know Adrian's dead. We know Will is somehow responsible for it, and that is sort of tearing Will and Sonny apart. But we don't know the circumstances of it, and it's something. So to your question, what we always planned to do were, when the events were big enough, you're not going to ever see the entire day-to-day of that missing year. But obviously some significant days happened. You know, what happened the day that Adrian died? You will eventually see that day. And the trick is, so anytime we want, which you even saw in the first week, there were some flashbacks to, you know, 1 year earlier. What I found out was, I thought we'd do those, we'd do tons and tons of them. What I found out was, production-wise, it's a little tricky because, you know, we shoot 8 shows a week and it's a lot of production. And then if in a particular episode, we've got, let's just for an example, say, you know, Will and Ben talking and they're in prison and they're remembering something that happened last year, suddenly that's like a costume change. So now out of your prison clothes, into your last year's clothes, onto a different set. Maybe the day that you're watching in Salem is night, and maybe the day that they're remembering last year is daytime. So that's the lighting all has to, we have to stop everything, change the lighting. The production concerns did not, of course, I'm just like, yay, we passed a year. You know, the production is like, okay, how much are you going to flash back? Because that's a lot of work for us. But they understood the importance. So I don't want to scare the audience to think we're not going to see those scenes. The you know, from Albert, Alar, the executive producer, on down, they understood we need to show the audience a lot of these big moments. But he said, you got to pick and choose your moments because we can't do it every day. we can't always be flashing back to the previous year because it's costume changes and lighting changes and all of this stuff. Double the wardrobe for characters on one episode. So it's just things I didn't, practical things I didn't think about at the time. But like I said, don't rest assured, we're going to show you the big moments.
So do you have like a weekly allowance of flashbacks and you have to?
they didn't give me a number. It was more like, okay, someone, you know, there might be a day where someone is describing something that happened last year. And if I had my way, we would show it.
Sure.
And if it was not super, super important, we might just say, well, maybe they just describe what happened that day. I know it's more fun for the audience to see. So anytime we felt like we really needed it, I was like, okay, I hope this is okay because I'm doing it.
And do you know what they did? Like, obviously, we've seen people with different hair. That there obviously were specific, you know, physical changes made to sort of indicate this was then, you know, or
yeah, there were certain things. And again, that's also hard for like, again, with like, if you decide to show a flashback, like, okay, in the present, so-and-so has a shaved head and now we want to show something from last year. Do they put a wig on, you know, mm-hmm. like, so, you know, I got very excited early on and said like, just little visual things that would make it different. Like I said, Roman's got glasses, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, and I guess I'll find out when I watch the show, they weren't able to do all of those things. Like, but we sort of would put suggestions into the out, like maybe Maggie has a totally different hairstyle to be like, whoa, you know. And certain things it's, you know, maybe the actor doesn't want to change their hair. I don't know. So I will sort of experience it along with the audience when they watch the episodes to see, you know, I left it to production to really, we made some suggestions to show, oh, now one person's missing a leg, you know, not that, but that's Philip.
I was just about to say, Philip Kyriakos is back?
Right. I was like, oh, someone now is, you know, got their arm in a sling and we don't know why. Whatever, but you know, some of those we had to let go and focus on the big picture of the big changes in town.
So there are obviously some cast changes that have been, you know, the jump has necessitated, and we spoke about Judy. James Reed, we know, is coming back. There is a Manny on the scene in the form of Brock Kelly. So tell us about like managing that, like who,
okay, sure,
the coming and going of it all.
Yeah, so similarly, like we said, when we sat down and said who's divorced, who's together, who's apart, who broke up, who died, it was like, well, is there anybody new in town? You know, it felt like there had to be at least one or two changes like that, mm-hmm. you know, so that the audience is like, whoa, who's that, you know? Or so Chad and Abigail was a logical choice where they're super popular. We wanted them to come back from the moment they left. So when we decided that Chad and Abigail would come back, it seemed like, oh, that would be cool to see, like, oh, they're already in town, you know? And it made sense to us that, oh, when they found out that what happened to Jennifer, that they would have come home, that Abigail would have wanted to come home. In fact, we wrote it into the, last episode of the, web series, where right after the last episode of Abigail and Chad in Paris, she answers the phone and is like, oh my God, and turns to Chad and says, my mother's been in a terrible accident. We have to go back to Salem.
Yeah, so, that timed out really well. Kudos to you.
Yeah. No, knock on wood. We plotted it that way. We counted and said, okay, like when we were able to do a couple of those things on the web series, what we would do is just look and see, okay, what's happening in Salem when this theoretically drops, and hope that that does stay that way, and be like, oh, could we reference, oh my God, you know, so this just happened. So yeah, that worked out amazingly well, because you watch 16 weeks of Chad and Abigail and it ends with right this week where they make the decision to come back to Salem. So seemingly they've been back in Salem for an entire year. You just didn't see that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Chad and Abigail was one. Like, we felt there needed to be a new character. So we were like, okay, if Will is in prison, and obviously what he is in prison for, which is killing his husband's mother, that's obviously created a giant strain on their relationship. So is there a new person for Sonny? So, you know, potential love interest for Sonny. So We introduce this guy, and he's the Manny for David, for Jordan's child that Rafe is raising. And so he's new on the canvas. Clyde, like you mentioned, it made sense that, well, if Ben is in prison, shouldn't he be interacting with his father? So it made sense to use Clyde to help with that story.
Now, since Salem does not really exist in any state, do we have a death row policy?
Well, that was what is so great about it. That is what is so great about it. The implication is that it is Illinois, because we mentioned being close to Chicago and whatnot, but we never outright say. And then so that makes us not bound by the laws of Illinois. So
anything can happen, these boys.
So anything can happen. And we said, hey, you know, if Ben is in prison for murder, like, do we want him to, is the death penalty on the table? You mm-hmm. know? And so knowing they did that story once before.
then yes.
The idea came, yes, we know that it exists, that the death penalty exists in Salem, or at least it did when Sammy was on death row. So yeah, it is, you know, most likely going to become an element of Ben's story.
Now, you mentioned that you do not like spoilers, and this story really remained under wraps for a very long time. So, you know, how did you feel kind of seeing it spilling out a little on the internet, even though it didn't really gain that much steam?
When we wrote it, which of course, you know, as most people know, was like 9 months ago, you know, it was honestly, it's like I was waiting for this time jump baby to be born. And for me, I was like, if the audience could be shocked out, like 100% shocked at the end of that Friday when Jack says, Jennifer, you've been asleep for a year. I mean, to me, the most amazing thing would be that not one single soul in the audience knew. Like, that is my dream. My dream, unfortunately, died. Like,
keep dreaming, Ron Carlovati.
Yeah. What I was pleasantly surprised to see is many, many months go by without people being aware. And then started to see a little bit on Twitter, I heard this, I heard that, you know. And so, look, I know there are people whose good time in life is sussing out these spoilers. To me, the thing I hate the most is when people put them outright in the tweet. If you want to be like, click here if you want to know, I don't like that either, but fine, go with God. But when they put it there so that I, who maybe don't like spoilers, sees it when I'm just scrolling through the day's timeline, I think that's a terrible thing to do to other fans. I think it's really awful.
We have talked about it just on the podcast about that this story was so under wraps, and that there, and you understand why there's an element of, you know, surprise that also fits right in with seeing how it all unfolds. Right. You know, sometimes in a way that, like, because it affects so many stories, you know, in a way that normally it's only one story that there's like a big reveal about, but this is just such a crazy ripple effect that I think the element of secrecy was important.
Right.
No, for me to see, you know, like, oh, Bill's in prison, or oh, Kristen's a nun, before that happened, I'm like, shame on you.
So I don't know that, you know, you set out to do this just to break new ground, but this happens to be breaking new ground in daytime. And what does that mean to you that, you know, for as established as this genre is, you are doing something that has not been done before?
No, it's very cool. Look, when you're in a genre that's been all around for over 50 years, it's hard to do things that are new and surprising. And when you do it for a long time, you know, just in the writer's room from way back in my, you know, Days of Our Lives at One Life to Live on to GH and here, you know, you're like, look, I love the genre. I love just the serial storytelling that we do on a day-to-day basis. But you're also like, okay, what could we do that's different? Like, what could we do that's surprising? Like, oh, we could do a musical. We can do a time travel story. We can do an April Fool's Day. We can do a Halloween. We tell 250 of these a year. So we want, as writers, I want the audience to have some surprise and some variety, but also for us, just as creative people, we are like, what can we do that's different? And that's why I've always wanted to do this time jump, knowing that it was a big undertaking, because I've just, it would be fun for us also as the writers, even though, and I knew it would be fun for the audience. Like once it happens and they see what it's all about, I think they're going to love it, you know, knock on everything. But
they will.
But yeah, I mean, no, it's fun. And look, it's like, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, but this is somewhat novel for daytime.
Mm-hmm. Well, you did mention that you normally are doing 250, or that you do 250 episodes. So obviously we're not going to see every day play out. So does this give you sort of, you know, potentially like years of story that you could theoretically go back to that happened within this missing year?
Well, yeah, that was a thing that we also said, that we were like, wow, there is that missing time. And like we said, you saw a lot of big moments from that year, but you did not see the whole year. So we realized that was like a treasure trove of like, wow, someone could dig up something that they buried during that missing year, or someone came to town for a week during that missing year and affected something you don't know yet, or we don't know yet as the writers. But yeah, we always thought, wow, there's probably, this will be of use to us later when we need to like pull something out of our hat. It can come out of that missing year.
That's great. It's a lot of opportunity. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
So before we let you go, can you grace us with a little tease of what we might be learning about the past and what's coming up on Days in the near future?
I think it's fair to say, as you know, like we said about adding some new people back into the, you know, adding some new faces and some old favorites coming back, that that it's fair to tell people now that Steve Johnson is on his way back to Salem very, very soon. And I know that's a character that people love and they have missed. And so that was another one that, you know, once the dust settled and we figured out where the everybody else on the canvas was after 1 year, Kayla has been on the canvas as, you know, she was on the first day as Jennifer's doctor. And you've seen her on the phone and so, but you haven't really, you don't know too much about what's going on with Kayla. So obviously Steve is a big, big factor in her life. And so, you know, you will be seeing him coming back to town very, very, very soon.
Well, we are so excited to see everything that's going to happen. This is definitely like probably the biggest tune in, you know, that like any show has done in a really long time. Yeah. But you really cannot miss a day. It is like a miss a day, miss a lot moment.
Absolutely. And yeah, thank you so much for telling us all about it.
Talk soon. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, Ron.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to Ron Carlovati for being our guest. If you like this podcast, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to pick up a new issue on sale now and come back next week for another podcast.